We're glad to have you aboard once again for Agriculture Today. Later on this morning, within the hour, as a matter of fact, the USDA will churn out once again a host of new numbers on grain production and supply and demand. Those numbers will garner the market's full attention when they come out. Some thoughts in advance of those reports from our guest, Dan O'Brien, in studio with us this week, grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. So we've the final numbers on row crop production for 17. We've the winter wheat acreage figures, the quarterly stocks, ending stocks, a lot of things to digest here within the hour, Dan.
And we'll take in that blizzard of numbers and try to deduce what the most important ones are. I think, of course, we'll be looking at the final production numbers for corn, soybeans, and sorghum, and then looking at the impact of whatever those final production figures are on the supply-demand balance sheets with an eye towards ending stocks and stocks to use, and seeing if there's enough movement in the scarcity or lack thereof in supplies for those major crops that we'd have anything different than what we're now seeing in the grain markets.
So what are the folks in the trade thinking regarding the final size of the corn, soybean, and sorghum crops, 17?
Well, coming into the report, again, any summary of the average guesses are all pretty cautious. For corn, there's one projection on average of about 14.56 billion bushels. That would be down about 21 million bushels from that December crop production report. For beans, essentially no change whatsoever. For sorghum, 355 million as a projection, just down a hair from the December figure of 356. I really don't get as excited about the average numbers, I think, as what the range is of pre-report estimates. Because if we do get a surprise, inevitably we'll ask, well, are we within the range or are we outside the range? On the low side, the lowest trade guess that was out there was about 14.43 billion bushels of corn. Again, that would be down about really not that much, only 150 or so million bushels from what the USDA has been forecasting. Excuse me, say that right. And really, underlying that will be the best end of the year after harvest estimate of the U.S. corn yield has been. And of course, that figure's about 175 or so is the latest number. We've had people say, well, gosh, that thing could go to 177. Others say, gosh, maybe it's really more like 173. So if we do get either of those extremes, 177, 173, we're talking changes that are outside of the range of these pre-report production estimates.
And potentially market movers then.
Yes. We're probably going to have about at least a 14.3, 14.4 billion bushel corn crop. But something towards the lower end of that something below 14.3 would have a market-moving impact, 15, 20, 30 cents in the corn market. But you'd have to have that big of a change from what the expectations were. The market expects large soybeans no matter what. Lowest pre-report trade estimate for beans was 4.385 billion bushels compared to the 4.425 that the USDA's been projecting. If we came in with a 4.3, a 4.2 for that, well, that would have some moderate impact to the upside on the soybean market. On the grain sorghum side, again, really not much change really for any estimate. But given the strength of demand we've had, if we came in with 340, 330 million bushels, that would shake things up as well. And those numbers are going to come right over into the ending stocks figures. You know, as we've been talking with ag producers over in the last week around the state, I've been really encouraging them to focus on the bottom line numbers, these ending stocks and ending stocks to use. And for corn, if we end up with an ending stocks number below 2.3, 2.25, then that's a change from where we've been. If we move below that, then the market has to reassess how bearish it's been with regard to where prices have gone. For beans, the USDA's last projection was about 445 million bushels, and actually the estimate is for that number to go up to about 475, 480. If we come in closer to 400, which would be a major surprise, then that's a market changer. For sorghum, the export pace we've had, they're anticipating a little bit of lowering of ending stocks. We're really kind of at the place now where, gosh, we're only estimating about 19 million bushels of grain sorghum. So if we actually get to that, by the time we get to August 31st, that's basically getting brooms out and sweeping around the edges of grain bins. So we can't go a lot lower on grain sorghum. For wheat, basically, it's a steady-as-you-go estimate. There is one low-end estimate of about 850, 860 million bushels ending stocks as opposed to 960. So it would take that type of a change to come in. There are these hidden little issues that come in on the markets. You know, we have concerns here domestically in some parts of the U.S. about the quality of some of the feed grains that we've harvested. You know, have some of the fungus diseases or whatever come in and affected corn in different parts of the U.S. We've heard some of that in the western Oklahoma situation, maybe in some of the surrounding areas. If that comes into play, then we're going to have to do what we normally do, which is hold those supplies back and keep feeding it slowly through and mixing it in and mixing whatever is affected into the system. Well, if that's the case, then you're looking at the possibility that there could be more wheat feeding than we're projecting right now, or pulling good quality corn in from other areas towards that Great Plains region to help compensate for what we have to mix off. So you have those issues. You also have kind of these hidden challenging issues overseas. China with their change in bioenergy policy, the questions they have that they're dealing with, the same ones that we have dealt with in the past. If you have low quality grain, you can't just run it through an ethanol plant and make turn it into good quality DDGs. Mm-hmm. You have a problem. So they, if those ideas about the quality of the corn carryover stocks that they have are, you know, if they're true, if they come to fruition, then these larger world numbers that we're seeing are really overstating what's available for the world grain market to work with. So you have the, I guess, issues of the real available supply-demand situation as opposed to these broader aggregates with varying quality. So as we've been talking with different groups at our Farming for the Future conferences at here this week, we've had some corn schools. You know, these issues of the underlying realities as opposed to the broader aggregate that the market, the futures market's tending to pay attention to, come to bear and offer some pause for concern, maybe even probably some hope for grain prices to move to the higher side as we move off into the later winter and early spring timeframe.
When you talk about what the USDA is likely to share as far as winter wheat acreage later on this morning, well, this is going to quantify what a lot of folks have been suggesting and very strongly that wheat acreage will be down, winter wheat acreage in particular, going into 2018.
And really, the only surprise would be as if there's no change. You know, there's such
That would be a shock, actually.
That would be a shock, given the consensus discussion we've been having for months now. The USDA has projected earlier in their long-term supply-demand numbers about a 1.5 million acre lowering. So that'd be down from, say, 32.7 down to about 31.4, and I think the trade basically is mimicking that. So that's about a 1.3 million acre reduction. And hard red bears about 1 million acres of that in terms of average trade guesses from about 23.4 down to 22.4. That's 2 to 4%. Who would be surprised if it's more than that? But even with that, I don't know that if it were more than that, it would move the market a lot. It, you know, we're so focused on the struggles we've had on the usage side, on demand, particularly exports, that we'd probably look at that and we'd say, oh, really, and then wait until March 1st to see what we really, really had survived the winter.
The only real market mover in this respect would be if that acreage number exceeded the expectations, and that would not be a move favored by producers.
Or you know, well, maybe probably the number to look for winter wheat acreage is the lowest pre-report trade estimate comes in at about, well, basically 30 million acres. So if we end up with 29, 28, whatever, well, then that would have to bear some weight in people's estimate of where 2018-19 U.S. wheat stocks used to go. I think the developing scenario, Eric, is that through a combination of dry weather, probably some winter damage, low planted acres, we could see in the United States a tightening up of our domestic supply-demand balance sheet for U.S. winter wheat, well, for all wheat, but still have abundant wheat all over the world. And then it becomes a question of how much of an impact does our shortfall have on that broader world situation. We would hope that it would have some positive effect, at least at basis for us, aim us towards the bottom of the trough in terms of prices and profitability here in the U.S. for wheat. Now, just, you know, again, how many years is it going to take for us to get to that situation? Mm-hmm. Again, the almost incredulous thing is that we haven't had major world wheat production shortfalls for about 4 or 5 years in a row. And can you say that that is the new normal when our history has been much more volatile than that?
Once more, the USDA will be releasing those numbers on 2017 row crop production, the final numbers there, the winter wheat acreage estimate of late from the department, and the stocks reports, all of it later on this morning. And we appreciate the input on what those numbers might have to say, Dan, and how the markets might react. And we'll catch up with you again next Friday.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
He's Dan O'Brien, grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension, here on Agriculture Today.